The reading this morning is taken from the Gospel as told by Mark, and it's on page 1006 of the Bibles. And it is chapter 4, starting at verse 21. So Mark 4, verse 21. He said to them, "Do you bring in a lamp to put it under a bowl or under a bed? Instead, don't you put it on its stand? For whatever is hidden is meant to be disclosed, and whatever is concealed is meant to be brought out into the open. If anyone has ears to hear, let them hear. Consider carefully what you hear," he continued. "With the measure you use, it will be measured to you, and even more. Whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them." He also said, "This is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed on the ground. Night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. All by itself, the soil produces corn, first the stalk, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. As soon as the corn is ripe, he puts the sickle to it, because the harvest has come." Again, he said, "What shall we say the kingdom of God is like? Or what parable shall we use to describe it? It is like a mustard seed, which is the smallest of all seeds on earth. Yet, when planted, it grows and becomes the largest of all garden plants, with such big branches that the birds can perch in its shade." With many similar parables, Jesus spoke the word to them, as much as they could understand. He didn't say anything to them without using a parable, but when he was alone with his own disciples, he explained everything. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thanks, Bill. And good morning to you all. Lovely to have you all here today. Right, this term we're spending a bit of time going through the Gospel of Mark, and today's reading featured several parables. Now, parables were stories that had quite a simple meaning to them. They were a simple story, but actually there was a deeper meaning underneath the story. And Jesus used parables as a way to begin teaching the disciples and the crowds something that was really quite significant, but they weren't ready yet to understand the deep meaning. So, parables have a double meaning. Now, when I was preparing for this sermon, I came across some amusing announcements that are meant to have really come from genuine church bulletins, so I thought I'd share a few with you. So they can be taken in two ways. And the first one: this afternoon there will be a meeting in the south and north ends of the church. Children will be baptized at both ends. I'm not sure Lottie would have approved of that, would she? Wasn't so keen about that end, let alone the other end. Another one was, Thursday at 5 p.m. there will be a meeting of the Little Mothers Club. All wishing to become little mothers, please see the minister in his study. Interesting. Another one. The associate minister unveiled the church's new tithing campaign slogan last Sunday. I upped my pledge, up yours. Don't know how long he spent thinking that one through. I'm going to keep going on. I hope you don't mind. The ladies of the church have cast off clothing of every kind, and they may be seen in the church basement on Friday. Might have been very well attended or avoided at all costs. I don't know. My last one. Bertha Belch, a missionary from Africa, will be speaking tonight at Calvary Methodist. Come here, Bertha, belch all the way from Africa. So anyway, there were so many examples of these, I could have gone on and on, but I probably ought to go on to something a little bit more spiritual. So, back to the passage. Now, our reading began with Jesus asking whether we would take a lamp and put it underneath a bowl or a bed. And obviously, that would be a silly thing to do. That's not the point of a lamp. But to get the most out of this parable and the parables that follow, we need to look at how Mark began the chapter. Now, he begins with Jesus telling the parable of the four soils. Now, this is the story where the farmer scatters seed willy-nilly all over the place, all over his field, and he doesn't worry about whereabouts it falls. So it falls onto four different types of soil. We have the footpath, and the birds come and immediately eat up the seed, and it's gone. That's the end of it. We have some that falls on shallow soil with underlying rock, and it begins to sprout up. But because there are no roots, it can't grow through the rock. When the sun comes out, it withers and dies. Then we have the seed that fell among thorns or weeds. And it did grow up, but it got choked by the thorns and the weeds. And so it was unable to produce any crop. And then finally we have the seed that falls on the fertile soil. It sprouted up. It became a really strong plant, had good roots. And so it survives really well and produces an abundant crop. Now probably most of the people listening to this parable didn't really understand what Jesus was meaning by this parable. And luckily for us, Mark goes on to share what Jesus' words of explanation were when he told his disciples what it meant. So I'm just going to read a little bit from the message, starting at verse 13. So Jesus continued, "Do you see how this story works? All my stories work this way. The farmer plants the word. Some people are like the seed that falls on the hardened soil of the road. No sooner do they hear the word than Satan snatches away what has been planted in them. And some are like the seed that lands in the gravel. When they first hear the word, they respond with great enthusiasm. But there is such shallow soil of character that when the emotions wear off and some difficulty arrives, there is nothing to show for it. The seed cast in the weeds represents the ones who hear the kingdom news, but are overwhelmed with worries about all the things they have to do and all the things they want to get. The stress strangles what they heard, and nothing comes of it. But the seed planted in the good earth represents those who hear the word, embrace it, and produce a harvest beyond their wildest dreams." So we have to ask ourselves, what type of soil are we? It can be so easy to get choked by other things. It can be so easy for the things in this life to take too much of a priority in our lives, too much of our attention, and perhaps Jesus gets pushed out. Or are we fertile soil? Are we willing to really open ourselves up, allow the roots to grow really deep, listen to God's word? Do we understand who Jesus really is? Do we understand that God wants us to be united with him again? Do we understand that we are so full of shortcomings and failures that actually we really need Jesus to make us whole again, make us clean again? Do we understand that Jesus died on the cross, taking all the punishment that we deserve so that we may be washed clean? And then we can approach God the Father confidently when we get to heaven. Do we understand that God the Father loves us so much that he was willing to give up his only son to die for us, to die a cruel death? And that Jesus loves us so much that he was willing to die on that cross for us. Now, Jesus offers us a relationship with him, but he is a gentleman and he gives us that choice. He loves us, but we choose whether or not we're going to love him back again. Now, for those of us that have chosen to have this relationship, it is really a very, very precious thing. It's a life-giving thing. It's a transforming thing. It gives us hope. We know how loved we are. And perhaps it's a very private and personal thing. But are we sometimes tempted to hide this precious secret that we carry? Perhaps we don't want to risk telling anyone else about it because they might mock us. They might belittle this relationship that we have with Jesus. And so we just don't really say anything about it. Perhaps we worry that if we mention it to somebody and they don't believe in Jesus, that when they make some rude comment, that our relationship with Jesus will crumble. But actually, Jesus is the best friend and the most solid and reliable friend that we will ever have. And so our relationship will survive. We can actually risk telling people, and our relationship will be fine. Other people need to know about this relationship. It's there for them as well. It's not just for us to have for ourselves. So if we are blessed with this amazing relationship with Jesus, the Son of God, then let's hold it up for all to see. Let's not be tempted to hide it under a bed or under a bowl. Let's let Jesus shine out through us and let people see Jesus at work in us. And then they will be able to get to know Jesus themselves. Now, when I was preparing for this talk, I felt God gave me this picture. And it was of us meeting with a friend. But we only meet with this friend in rather private, out-of-the-way places. We don't really want to be seen by the general public. And it might be because we're a bit embarrassed of this friendship that we have with this person. It might be that we don't actually want to share this friendship that we have with anybody else. So we just don't really want to be seen. Now, actually, we'd never really treat a friend like that. We wouldn't dream of doing that. But then the next thing Jesus said to me was, do I sometimes get treated like that hidden friend? Are you willing to meet with me in more public places? And I felt really challenged by that question, because it's so easy to bring our friendship with Jesus here into church where he's really acceptable. It's fine in the home groups and prayer groups, places where we know Jesus is accepted. But are we willing to take Jesus out to all areas of our lives? Are we willing to take him to work with us? Are we willing to take him by the hand and boldly walk into work? To school, to the gym, wherever we are, whatever we're doing, will we bring him boldly with us? Are we willing to share this gift of this relationship with other people? Now, I don't know about you, but I find it really challenging actually sharing something of my faith with people who don't know about Jesus. It's hugely embarrassing and awkward. And I have those moments where you say something and then there's this horrible kind of silence and the person kind of goes, and then they don't really answer and they walk off and you just think, oh my gosh, that was awful. That just kind of fell to the ground. And it is awkward, but we don't actually know what impact these little comments have. Or if we offer to pray for somebody, maybe that will actually touch them at some level. Maybe later on in their lives, maybe they will turn to God and think about that prayer. You know, we don't know where these little comments that we make are going to go. And actually, people that we meet each day, there are so many that are struggling. There are so many that probably would like us to pray for them or offer to pray for them. And actually, there are so many opportunities we have to share something of our faith with other people. And I think we're perhaps getting slightly better at recognizing these opportunities, but we don't always take them up. So the challenge today is the next time one of those opportunities comes your way and you have a moment where you can say something about your faith and the difference Jesus has made in your life, and this is for me too, will we say something? Will we not come away saying, oh, I should have said something then, and I didn't? So, we need to be like the farmer sowing his seed. We need to be throwing it out in all directions, not worrying about where it falls. We don't really know where people are at. We don't know what their hearts are like. We don't know whether they're open or closed. We have no idea, but our job is to just wildly throw this seed about. Tell people about Jesus. Now I'm going to read the parable of the growing seed again from verse 26. Jesus also said, "This is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed on the ground. Night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. All by itself, the soil produces corn." So I think God is trying to say to us Jesus trying to say that it is our job to scatter the seed, but not to worry about the growth that's happening. We can't really see what's going on in someone's heart. We do the scattering. He knows where people are at. He can reach them. He can touch them. He can worry about the growth that's happening there. And also, I think we may find that when we get to heaven, there are a few surprises. There may be some people that we didn't expect to see, but perhaps something that we've said along the way actually brought them nearer to Jesus, and they may end up in heaven too. Now, a seed has been sown in Lottie's life today. She's become part of God's family, and we hope that everything that she learns here at church will help her to grow in her intimate relationship with Jesus. And all the work and teaching that we have at Fuse and Ignite, Royal Children's Work, is about sowing seeds in the children's hearts. It's really, really important. And I think we're very good at sharing with each other and encouraging each other here in church. But now, are we ready to start sowing seeds outside of these church walls? The final parable that Jesus tells about is the parable of the mustard seed. And he says that the kingdom of God is like this mustard seed. It starts off really, really tiny and grows into something really huge and strong. And Jesus's ministry began very as a very small thing. He was on his own. He gathered a few people around him. And they were rather insignificant people, really. But over time, as Jesus went around preaching, people were drawn to him. And the people surrounding him grew, his followers grew. And obviously he ended up dying. 3 days later he rose again, and then a little while later he ascended into heaven. And after that, the Holy Spirit was given as a gift to all of those disciples. Now they, with the Holy Spirit in them, were able to take the message of Jesus and take it to the entire world. They spread it far and wide. These insignificant people achieved something rather amazing. Now, this growth is still there for us today. It still could be happening. So if we aren't seeing it, are we not risking it enough? Perhaps we're just not daring to share Jesus with other people. Maybe if we did, we would see some incredible growth. So my final challenge today is, are we willing to go out into the world and scatter seeds? Are we willing to share our faith in Jesus? Are we willing to show that love that he has for us and share it with other people? Are we willing to let the gift of Jesus in our lives shine out for all to see? Are we willing to take that risk? I'm just going to close in prayer now. Lord Jesus, I know that you're so pleased with what we do already. But Lord, I just feel you're bringing us on to a new stage. You've built us up. We've learned so much about you. We know you so well. But you're saying now it's time to be bolder. It's time to risk it. It's time to share anything about our relationship with you, with the people that we meet every day. Lord Jesus, you know what those barriers are that stop us from doing that. You know whether it's embarrassment or the awkwardness or fear, those things that hold us back. And Lord, I just pray that you would speak to each one of us today. That you would show us what those barriers are, and you would help us to begin to dismantle them. Help us to shine brightly for you, Lord Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen.